this is Joy with Breaking Curses 101. I'm so happy to be with you today. I hope you're doing all right. I know we're in some changing times. There's nothing normal about this, and we'll never go back to the old normal. But God never changes. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's why he gave us his Bible, so that we can see that he came through for people thousands of years ago, and he will come through for you today. So this morning I was thinking about my family out of Chicago. That's where I'm from. I'm from the Auburn-Gresham neighborhood, and that's like the worst crime area in Chicago right now. And a lot of young men, a lot families, I think everybody has been touched by the murders in Chicago. Even the person that's most high up, you know somebody that's got killed. Everybody knows somebody that's been murdered. Or you know somebody who knows somebody who's been murdered. And that fear of your family members getting murdered, it's always laying below the surface. And you try to reconcile that in your mind and say, well, you know, I don't care about the death, or, you know, it's got to happen sometime. And, you know, you're constantly trying to reconcile it, but deep down inside, that fear is there. Well, for me, that fear is gone. For myself, I still have family members there, and I would not ever send my kids to Chicago. Yes, we did go to bury my father. But I tell my kids, my heartbeat, don't you show up. Don't you show up on the South Side. Don't do it. If you go, you know, stay in the main areas, downtown. In fact, I don't know. I wouldn't go to Chicago at all right now. Because everything's kind of shut down everywhere. Maybe they're opening up a few things, but it'll never be back to where it was before. So, I wanted to talk to y'all about the PTSD that people are suffering. Especially the young men. Well, you got young women too who've lost their boyfriends, their dads, their sons. The women are suffering. Everybody has PTSD on the South Side. And so you just really jumpy. It's wild when my family come to visit me. You know, I hear about who got shot, you know, who died recently. And the weird thing is, I used to hear my parents talk about people who died, you know, because they went to a big church. And when you are in your 40s and 50s, and you go to a really large church, I would say even, I think when I was a little girl, let's say 30s, my mom was in her 30s, my dad in his 40s. And you know people in their 50s and 60s, somebody's always dying. But it wasn't traumatic. Now, when you hear young people dying, young people getting killed, it's just so much trauma attached to that. God wants to deliver you from the trauma. The trauma actually passes the spirit of death on to the next generation or to the people around you. You hear about somebody dying and suddenly the fear strikes you because you feel like, oh, it's closer now. It's closer than it's ever been. So you got to get delivered from the trauma. All murder is a blood sacrifice. I don't know who the people in Chicago are exactly being sacrificed to. I do know that gangs have their own initiations where you have to kill somebody. And I would say even now so much, it's not so much gangs, but neighborhoods. It's almost like you're in a neighborhood gang. If you're from a certain area, that is your gang. And if somebody else shows up from a different area, you just get shot. They get shot. Parents will send their kids out of town to ensure their safety. But if you come back, you still got a hit on you. You still are a target. and they remember. They aren't going anywhere. They never forget. They remember you, and they will come gunning for you if you show back up. When you leave Satan's territory after you escape, you better not come back. If you leave a gang, you never come back. If you leave an abusive relationship and you come back, they're coming to kill you. You don't. Once you escape, you don't go back. That's crazy. But you can't leave without the power of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can set you free. If you have a hit out on your head or a bounty on your head, only Jesus can remove that bounty by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know it's a very specific thing. A bounty is a thing. Do you know that you can be carrying a bounty from your ancestry, from when your ancestors escaped slavery, such as Harriet Tubman? She had a bounty on her head. Yes, she got away, but she couldn't just go back because they were out to kill her. They had the posters up and everything. And do you know that bounty can be passed down from generation to generation? I actually took a bounty off a woman's head. And I believe her ancestor escaped from slavery. And so if your ancestor escaped and there's a bounty, do you know that bounty can be passed down from generation to generation? And by the time you get to 2020, that whatever descendants are in 2020, people, these demons can still be coming to hunt them down. I know that sounds crazy, and I wasn't even trying to go there. But what's connected to Chicago's murders are the spirits from Egypt. There was a lot of worship of Egyptian gods and goddesses in Chicago. Not Chicago, among the Native Americans who lived in Chicago area. They were the Illini Confederation. That was a pack of Indian nations that bonded together in war to protect their area. They fought together. They did human sacrifice rituals before they went out to battle. They killed one of their own. So a lot of killing in Chicago, a lot of sacrifices, and those sacrifices have ushered in Egyptian pharaohs, and they require more blood. They always require more blood. So I wanted to lead into a section where I'm going to talk about a person who was delivered from vampires in one of my sessions last week. I'll be right back. Are you a couple struggling with your relationship? Have you been married many years and considering divorce? Well, God healed my marriage. I've been married 27 years, and the Lord has stripped away layer after layer of attacks from the enemy that were hindering my marriage and basically destroying us and trying to break us up. But praise be to God, who gave me the victory through Jesus Christ, my Lord. He showed me different things that were attacking my relationship with my husband, such as mermaids, such as contracts with the Marine Kingdom, the slave trade, different things from our ancestry, witchcraft. We've been delivered of so much stuff. I have been delivered. He's not currently going through deliverance, but I have been getting delivered, and it has healed our relationship. There were attacks coming through to him, through me. He didn't even act a certain way, he said, before he met me. But do you know that your wife's demons can jump off on you? Do you know your husband's demons can jump off on you, wives? Yes. Did you know that your girlfriend's mermaids can attack you and cause you to dream of other women? I know that sounds so bizarre, but it happens. It's true. it's a thing. It's a quite common thing. So I help people attack these things so they can move forward with their relationships and gather the pieces of broken marriages and to come back together again to glorify God in your family. So check me out at breakingcurses101@gmail.com, breakingcurses101.thinkific.com, and that's breakingcurses101. Okay? And I'll see you in class. Talk about vampires. Vampires have come up in my sessions a few times. They're usually associated with bloodshed. Are you always having accidents and shedding blood? Do you know anyone who sheds lots of blood all the time? Always getting cut and lots of bloodshed. Busting the face, lots of bloodshed. Just blood. You're always giving blood. It's something going on with all that blood. Come on now. Well, this man didn't necessarily have a lot of bloodshed, but he had a friend that he said was a Nazi. A white friend that's a Nazi. The client is black. The friend was a white Nazi. And he was telling me about the guy. He said, you know, they were teenagers. And the guy was 19. He was 16. I had asked the man, were there any instances in your life when you shed a lot of blood? And I don't even know why I asked that question. But I did. And he said he had a friend who bit him. That's creepy when your friends start biting you. The friend bit him on the finger. And so, and there was some bloodshed there. And so I knew, okay, we got to dig deeper into this thing. And so I started to have drill down into this friendship. He heard unlikely pair. They were an unlikely pair. And I know Nazis aren't just friends with black people for no reason. It turns out that this man, the vampire spirit over this man's life sent the man, the vampire, there were 9 vampire spirits in his life. I can't remember, I don't remember writing down how many generations it went back, but this man had 9 vampires from Egypt. Oh yeah, I know how I got to this. We were dealing with the spirit of Ra. Ra brought in 9 vampires. So I said, who's the chief vampire? And he heard Dracula. That's when I lost it. I threw my ink pen in the air and I said, that's it. I quit. This is getting too crazy. This is like straight out of a movie. Well, anyway. I picked up my ink pen and I continued. So Dracula is the chief vampire. He went back 4 generations. He sent the white Nazi friend. I said, what was his purpose for coming into your life? To offer him as a sacrifice. The Nazi was going to sacrifice him, but he became afraid. There were angels around this man that would not allow his vampire friend to sacrifice him. Thank you, Jesus. So, but he remembered before the guy left his life, they had done a seance. The Nazi invited him to a seance. Through that seance, this man lost 6 of his soul fragments. They were locked in his mind. They were parts of him that were functional. So he lost his speech. The man stopped talking. He lost his gift of joy. He lost his motivation. He lost love. Oh, his ability to motivate others. He lost love. his ability to love, he lost the ability to forgive, and he lost his laughter. And so I had to walk him through getting all his soul fragments back and breaking the curse. Actually, when he started repenting for the seance, he started yawning and yawning and yawning. So then I said, anything else from Egypt? And he saw a werewolf. I'm like, that's it. Now I really quit. I quit for the second time in this session. A werewolf? I said, how did you come in? And he saw a movie called The Howling. But check this out. I know. If you watch horror movies, you got demons. You may have thought, oh, it didn't scare me. It didn't have to scare you. The very fact that you were drawn to the horror movies were really those demons wanted the satisfaction of watching people die and get slaughtered. Okay? If you could watch that and not feel moved by it, you probably felt somewhat empowered by it. I know a girl, anybody who feels empowered by that, you got a spirit that's either going to have you become the sacrifice or it's going to cause you to sacrifice somebody. And every time you watch somebody die on TV, it's like you're participating in a sacrifice. That's creepy right there. Makes you go, you're going to shut everything off. Repent. Repent for all the murders that you watched in the movies and on TV. Lord, I repent of all the murders that I watched in the movies and on TV. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I yawned. Okay, so the werewolf brought in quick temper, quick anger. It stole family from him. It brought in the spirit of, check this out, the lone wolf. Go ahead, pause this podcast and laugh. That's a thing. You've heard of a lone wolf. Oh, he's a lone wolf. You know, that means he travels alone. He does everything alone. Well, that werewolf spirit brought in the spirit of the lone wolf. It wants you to be alone. It makes you push people away through anger, quick temper. It put devices of loneliness on you. It causes you to be misunderstood by other people. It makes people reject you. So we had to cast that thing out too. Ra came in 4 generations ago through 12 baby sacrifices. They brought in curses of financial burden, demonic favor, rejection, sacrifices for money, or sexual sacrifices for money, making him desperate for sex. It brought in manipulation, loss of money, he's always losing things, and of course, suicide. So, it brought in, Ra was his spirit spouse. That's crazy when Ra is a spirit spouse. It brought in fear of dying, blinders to God's light. It's a mind controlling spirit. It poisons his mind by bringing negative people to him. And there's a death contract that every 3 years, somebody has to die in every generation. I keep thinking about this young girl that I met. I used to run a boarding house, and this man came there and he brought his girlfriend. He lied and said she was a cousin, but she had his name tattooed on her arm, and she had a skull ring and she had skull tattoos. And I said, she has a spirit of death on her. And I tried to minister to her. I even drove her to her mother's house at one point. Her mother said, that's her sister, but the girl looked just like her. The mother was like a white redhead, and the daughter was mixed. You could tell she was mixed race, but she looked just like the mother. And she had reddish hair as well, reddish brown hair. And the boy's name was Sonny. Sonny and his girlfriend left. They ended up living and panhandling on the street. And they got into an argument one night, and Sonny ended up pushing her, and she fell in front of a car and got killed. And I think Sonny went to jail. But whatever was on her caused him to kill her. It was totally unintentional. It's horrible. That's horrible. It's like, so I know that spirit of death was her spirit spouse. And so whatever your spirit spouse is going to affect the person you're dating, the person you are married to, the people you have a deep soul tie with. It's going to affect them. But mainly through that marriage. And if you're having sex with somebody, oh, it's definitely already transferred to that person. So, anyway, you need deliverance. There's no good note to really end this with, except the man did get delivered. He was yawning like crazy. But this thing came after him. He got some backlash after that session. They immediately wanted another session, which I refused. Heck to the no. I got to get at least 2 weeks to get over this one. No, you can't have another session. Wait till I get over this, okay? So yeah, I went out on a nice little, I went out. I had to like go in the air and just clear my brain because this stuff is a lot. So anyway, if you need deliverance, don't think you're going to get delivered with one fell swoop. That's not happening. You're not going to get one session and all your problems are going to go away. You need to be committed to the process. You're going to be like a slave running away from a slave master. You're not going back. You're going to be leaving a whole bunch of stuff behind. You're going to be giving up stuff. It's not free. You're going to be giving up a lot of stuff. All right? People complain. They say, deliverance should be free. In a sense, yes, that prayer should be free. But don't think you're getting out of this without giving up something. Because everything at this point put in your life is meant to hold you into bondage. All right, you got things that are a curse you're gonna have to throw away. Oh no, I want to sell this stuff. There was a lady with two storage facilities full of stuff. She says she's paying $200 a month for these storage facilities. Don't know what's in them, but she doesn't want to pay to join the group. She hasn't joined the group yet, from what I understand. She hasn't. And I don't know, giving up these storage facilities and then stopping that $200 payment has got to be really hard, you know, but she's paying every month to keep from getting delivered. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. I'm out of here. I will see you listen to me in the next podcast. Bye.